And in the meantime, I do want to announce that there is a program that Kazoo is going to put on. It's called Ancient Future, a group of world fusion music ensemble. And it begins November the 5th at Moraga Concert Hall in Santa Cruz. Kazoo didn't sponsor many things this summer. I'm not aware that we put on many programs for fundraising, but these are nice because you can combine music and entertainment and sociability and go with people you like and give money to the station at the same time. So it all comes together. It's going to be November the 5th at 8 o'clock, Concert Hall in Santa Cruz, Moraga Concert Hall, $5 if you buy your ticket, $6 at the door. Ancient Future, we have a description here. I don't know the group. Four musicians from Marin, California present music that blends the East with West, yesterday with tomorrow, merges Indian melodies, African rhythms, European harmonies, and Indonesian orchestration techniques, gamelan orchestration techniques, and they have a world fusion music embracing all of these elements, folk, jazz, classical, and rock, and they have an album, Visions of a Peaceful Planet and Natural Rhythm. There is so much war and ugliness and violence and ugly politicians that it would be nice to have some nice music in your soul. I hope you do anyway. I do. I like music, and I don't like to be contaminated by this news all the time. And so see if you can go there. We have one more week to announce it, and I'll do that. So we'll get back to this is side two of broadcast number 619, October the 17th, 1983. Just a few items about this. Alan David Saxon, a long story in the San Jose Mercury, Monday, October the 10th, about his being close to a fellow on the board of the commercial bank, a Mr. Bazurto, B-A-Z-U-R-T-O, who introduced Mr. Saxon, who was a big depositor in the commercial bank that's now defunct, and could possibly continue being a large investor. He was almost on the board, but he didn't pass a clearance or didn't want to be put to the test. Mr. Bazurto left the bank, the commercial bank, where he was a director of the bank, along with these other sleazy characters, and became the treasurer of the gold bullion group that's now missing $60 million. The former director, Bazurto, of the bank was ousted because he transferred $74,000, it was $74,000 in 1982, to the account of Ann Yarborough. She's a 75-year-old woman, and he put $74,000 in her bank with no collateral because she gave the line, and they must have known it was a lie, that she was going to inherit $13 million, which would be easy to check out. And she's the one and her husband who were going to buy the president's house in the Pacific Palisades. So if it comes to the Johnny Carson Bank or the commercial bank in California of these people that are in drug, cocaine traffic, sending the money overseas illegally to banks in the Cayman Islands, the Bahama Islands, what's the difference if they just give a check up front to Ronald Reagan to buy his house, or if they give $74,000 to a 75-year-old lady with no collateral to buy the president's house, just give him the money and buy the house? Frank Sinatra gave, was it $10,000 to decorate the upstairs and so forth? So what kind of shenanigans? If you save every article, you'd be moved out of your house with newspapers. But if the president, Reagan or Nixon, buy a house or turn a rock or even saw a piece of wood, you got to save it, because under the wood must be a stockpile of banknotes or something. I mean, why is it that other people sell houses and buy houses and there's no scandals? And it's when these presidents with their links to organized crime that these scandals come in, linked to these terrible organizations. Now, Mr. Saxon promised his investors that he had money in the impregnable Wasatch Mountains, W-A-S-A-T-C-H vault, the Wasatch Mountains vault. It reminds me of Nunsuch, not Wasatch. And it was called Perpetual Storage. That reminds me of the frozen bodies that Howard Hughes talked about. Perpetual Storage Incorporated, a Utah-based storage firm. And when he was dead and they're investigating that, he was immediately cremated. Imagine, they said, we'll have an inquest into his murder and we'll have the answer in 3 weeks. But he was cremated on October the 2nd. Now, how can you have an inquest into a murder and a controversial murder? I suggest if you congressmen have listened this far that you pass a bill that any questionable death or suicide or person related to an ongoing investigation, such as this particular bank is being investigated, that every piece of evidence and every body not be touched until case is closed, period. We got enough freezers to put them in or put them down the ground and embalm them. But there was a gun by his side. All of a sudden, the authorities, and this isn't anything new, cremate the body, such as the orders to cremate Nelson Rockefeller, cremate it within hours, and then we'll discuss how they died, okay? So the Omega Society cremated him. The Los Angeles officials are going through a three-week investigation. Meanwhile, the money was going down to Brazil, the gold bars, $2 million a week. People up in Canada and elsewhere were buying this gold as an investment and thinking that they had gold, and the gold is going down to Brazil, $2 million a week, and there isn't gold where it's supposed to be in Utah. And this is not just an ordinary criminal. This is close to Hollywood, the cocaine traffic, the President of the United States, and all his cronies. Another article in the Los Angeles Herald, bullion tycoon only left unanswered questions where the $60 million went. The mystery man with billion associates who did millions of dollars worth of business, they have no idea who he was or where he came from. He carried a gun. He dealt in precious metals and so forth. Why, if you're going to be invited on the board of a bank, if you're going to open an office in a building with these various people, why can't you give a little background that could be checked out? Where are all these computers that Larry McDonald or the Wackenhut Corporation or the data banks in Illinois and all these corporate data banks, how come they don't know these people have all these names, aliases, and hidden paths and so forth? They rip the Americans who invest their money into these things and let the money flow out of the country to Hong Kong and Brazil and South America and have these brochures and don't even question them. But some poor person who's a Democrat, registered Democrat, who has a change of sex life, goes into a computer, the Los Angeles Police Department, and into Western Gold, which goes to the admirals and the generals and the CIA and the FBI and the Defense Intelligence Agency. Those are the people they're busy following, not these thieves. And there's so many of them, we could do a one-week marathon on the missing billions. The Wall Street Journal had an article, Billion Reserve Chairman Suicide Tape May Give Clue to Missing Precious Metals. Lots of luck. It says that Mr. Copelson and Miller, those were friends of his, Arnold Copelson and Michael Miller of the this commercial bank, Johnny Carson's bank, and they were also friends of his through the bullion reserve system. They've been involved in investigation. There's a suit that holds that they jointly had $1.7 million belonging to the bullion reserve system. Copelson and Miller, former officers and directors of Commercial Bank of California, gained attention early this year when they were sued by fellow bank directors, including entertainer Johnny Carson and his lawyer, Henry Bushkin. Now, these Copelson and Miller's names come up in regard to the reserves, the gold bullion reserves, and that is a can of worms. We've done quite a few programs on it. I'll do more later. The Los Angeles Times has a story this last Saturday. Cucurons reported in Saxon's car, $18,000 in gold coins in the trunk of his Maserati. What, do you have a $58,000 car with the South African Cucurons on it? The great L.A. gold bud sting, another story. Thousands who invested in bullion firm are out millions. And it goes in again to the Bank of California. It was the bank was run and used by organized crime figure Jack Catane. It was closed on charges of extortion, kickbacks, racketeering activities. And 30,000 people across the country and in Canada have lost $60 million worth of storage. And the coroner's office has ruled the death as a suicide, but they're going to determine if there were any drugs in his body. The body, as I say, is cremated, so that's just a lot of blah, blah. But the bank vaults were empty. The man has national, international connections, and he, as I say, reportedly loaned. It was $1.7 million to Arnold Copelson and Michael Miller, the directors of the commercial bank. He loans it to them. He's handing out. He's got $60 million. He can give it to anybody. Was it ever paid back? Or is he handing these directors of the bank this money? And then, as I say, he is offed at a time when he's about to be investigated. He's gotten a court order. He will be investigated. It's like Larry McDonald gets a court order. The grand jury were going into Western Gold's and their Los Angeles Police Department files that are in Western Gold's back east. And 12 days later, Larry McDonald is dead. They're going in an investigation of $60 million of the gold bullion, and Saxon is dead. Well, that's so common. I just bring it up because those of you who listen regularly follow the pattern week after week, the way that takes place. There's a story. William Sapphire had another article this week on Frank Sinatra hits back his way. And there's Frank Sinatra holding a microphone with lots of chips, gold chips in Las Vegas. He has the jackpot. And it's about, the story is about the First Amendment, the right of freedom of press, and how he wants to sue somebody to write a book about him. And this article says this is a dangerous precedent. The Howard Hughes organization tried that. They had Rosemont Corporation. It reminds me of Rosebud, the mystery of that Orson Welles did of Randolph Hearst. The Howard Hughes people use Rosemont. The names are always close and very interesting because it's symbolic. Nobody could write about Randolph Hearst when he was alive ever. Those were orders, and nobody could write about Howard Hughes. And so they formed this corporation that anything that was written about him, even though he's the largest single contractor of your tax dollars that got it eased to a $1 trillion debt, you couldn't investigate who the guy is or write about him. Now, Frank Sinatra wants to sue this Miss Kelly, who's writing a book about him. He objects to the fact that Kitty Kelly wants to tell about him. And William Sapphire comes in and says, this is a very dangerous precedent that you can't control what's written. He said, Frank Sinatra's a power, and he dares anybody to challenge that power, and a power he is. The Voice, he refers him as The Voice, still echoes in presidential history. According to an undisputed account of Judith Exner, it was Sinatra who introduced her to John Kennedy on the eve of his New Hampshire primary in 1960. That's also about the time when, in 1960 of his primary, when Robert Mayhew of the Howard Hughes Organization set up the hit teams with Sam Giancana and John Rosselli in 1960, Robert Mayhew of the CIA and the FBI. Sapphire says it was weeks later that Sinatra introduced her then to Sam Giancana, the Chicago gangland leader. Now, keep in mind that in 1960, Sinatra introduces Judith Exner to John Kennedy, and in 1960, Robert Mayhew is hiring Sam Giancana for a hit team to kill, along with John Rosselli. CIA and FBI hit team to kill. The hit teams were hired the same time that Judith was introduced to John Kennedy, and then she goes back and forth between John Kennedy's bed and Sam Giancana, who's been hired for a murder team, the Chicago gangland leader. And Sapphire says her subsequent dual affair with the nation's most powerful mobster and the most powerful political leader caused the director of the FBI to go to the Oval Office and sever the incredible connection. That's history, not gossip. And I know of one distinguished historian who's trying to get the government files on the possible penetration of the White House by organized crime. Sinatra's friendship with Giancana caused the Nevada Gambling Commission to turn down the singer's application for a license in 1963. It was Giancana who was chosen by the CIA for assassination team, along with mobster John Rosselli. Giancana and Rosselli, of course, again, were murdered, one after he testified before the House Select Committee on Assassinations, and the other before he was about to testify. So in 5 minutes, I've just mentioned four people that were involved with criminal investigations who were murdered. If you congressmen want to go into Murder Incorporated, if you want to go into that, you come to my house and I'll show you six filing cabinets, 26 inches deep, of people in the United States that were murdered like this just for lots of different reasons. And one of them, because they were about to be exposed or to be forced to testify about information that it would involve your president and your former president and you too, some of you. So this isn't a very clean age, and if you want to know what's going on besides your little choice of economic indicators and your little phony excuses to have an election of what the campaign issues will be, I'll show you some campaign issues. So Frank Sinatra wants to stop the book. All of you read it, but the important thing is that this man had a lot of power, and it was the same year that the Giancana is set up with the hit team by the CIA, that Frank Sinatra as Judith Exner with Giancana and John Kennedy. And you know, I think most of you know by now what happened to John Kennedy. Another story, just a quickie I want to put here on the air, because Ronald Reagan has made such horrendous nominations. There's just one more The Federal Appeals Court is very important in Washington, D.C. It's one of the most important where you take cases. It's your court of last resort. And he's nominated a Sherman Unger who's been involved with 2 to 3 different crimes that even crook Arlen Specter of the Senate wants to stop his appointment, who's challenged him. Arlen Specter is the man interrogating and questioning this appointment. He was the one who made up that one bullet story of John Kennedy, that the bullet went through Kennedy, went through John Connally, and broke all law of physics. So even a crook on the Kennedy cover-up can recognize another crook on the Court of Appeals. Federal Appeals Court nominee Sherman E. Unger, U-N-G-E-R, opposed by the American Bar Association for lack of integrity, acknowledged yesterday that in order to pacify a client in a court proceeding 3 years ago, he pressed ahead with a legal motion that he knew was based on false information. To satisfy a client before the court, he was aware that in 1980 in the Delaware court of a particular person, a bankruptcy case, and he testified that Unger knowingly filed a false affidavit in support of a motion and helped a client out. And he also unknowingly has received, I think it was $40,000, and didn't know he had that on the books. Now, speaking of blackmail, and we're running out of time, and I have so much I want to cover tonight, but I just quickly want to say that Thomas Noguchi has a book out, and we'll be sure and write it. The powers that be in Los Angeles, the county officials, are calling it ghoulish, that he wants a fast buck. Oh, boy, does he have a story to tell. A little bit about Natalie Wood, a little bit about Marilyn Monroe, Sharon Tate, William Holden, Robert Kennedy, Janis Joplin, and John Belushi. Now, if you took those 6 or 7 deaths and you took all the information that I have in my house alone, not Freedom of Information or whatever, about these particular murders, you could get rid of the major crooks in the United States, and it would lead you directly to the assassination teams all over the United States. Robert Kennedy's assassination is linked through Robert Byron Watson right down to Larry McDonald in DeKalb, Georgia. Ethel Younger was the district attorney in Los Angeles that covered up the assassin. And in his book, he tells that there's a second gunman. That was that Thane Caesar, who lives out in Riverside now. Now, getting to Larry McDonald, just a little bit. There isn't time to do as much as I want, but I want to touch up some more on Western Goals, because Western Goals is the combine of the military, the Nazis, the Birch Society, the organized crime syndicate. And Larry McDonald, rather than being deified by you members of the House of Representatives, I want you to know, in case you didn't hear my past broadcast and you can send for them, that he has very strong links to the Nazis and the syndicate, and this is very, very important. Larry McDonald, I got a letter from a man who published an article several years ago on Western Goals. He lives in Athens, Georgia, and he sent me the article, and he got my broadcast on Larry, and I mailed him the court affidavit that Robert Byron Watson did for G. Robert Blakey, closely associated with Mo Dalitz and the crime syndicate, who headed the House Select Committee on Assassinations. Robert Blakey did not open up this case. He was given $6 million to open up the murder of Martin Luther King and John Kennedy, and he didn't do it. There were doors closed on that. And Robert Byron Watson was one of those who had an affidavit that was not publicized. And I sent it to this man who's a newspaper man in Georgia, and he wrote to me, "Dear May, you're tying Representative Larry McDonald to the Nazis, the World Odessa Nazi Organization, and the Syndicate, which is the drug organized crime syndicate, is right on target. Also, what you said about Chile. You may notice that Roy Cohn has been added to the board of directors of Western Gold since I wrote my article. That's why he isn't on it. Mr. Senholz, S-E-N-H-O-L-Z, aside from what I had in the article, being on the board and important, Mr. Senholz, to Larry McDonald and Western Goals, was a pilot for Adolf Hitler's Luftwaffe. He was a Luftwaffe pilot in World War II, killing off Americans and British and all over the world. He was a pilot. He's now on Western Goals. And Mr. Unkefer, U-N-K-E-F-E-R, was a consultant, in quotes, to the Pinochet regime. That's when the Nazis came back in power with the swastikas in Chile. In light of Watson's testimony and his affidavit, this is really interesting. It's an interesting thing about him, Mr. Unkefer, because he's a precious and strategic metals broker, which really boosts what Robert Byron Watson said about gold smuggling in South America from DeKalb County in Georgia. Mr. Wigner is another German who came with the Nazis. That is Mr. WIGNER of Western Goals, who runs the German counterpart of Western Goals. One of the big donors of Western Goals is Nelson Bunker Hunt. And he goes into Mr. Conin, Lucian Conin, and Mitchell Werbel. I'll do more on that later. And their relationship to Alexandria, Virginia, their office there where Western Goals is. Now, the article he sent me, I'll just give you a few sentences from it. He was writing a few years ago, Congressman Larry McDonald, the Bircher urologist from Georgia, has proposed a new method to protect the nation against commies and perverts, as if Nazis aren't perverts. Okay, he has a foundation that will be computerizing thousands of documents relating to internal security. The experts on his rostrum of Western Goals reads like a who's who of American paranoids. Along with McDonald, two members of the foundation's advisory board are members of the John Birch Society. One of them is Sherman Yunkefer III, from Illinois, rather. He served on its board and once was the advisor to the Central Intelligence Agency that installed military dictatorship in Chile of General August Pinochet. And I said many times before, the relationship of Larry McDonald to Pinochet and the notorious DINA and the terrorism in Chile. Robert Stoddard, he said, another member, was one of the founders of the Birch Society. He remembers a member of its board. He served as director and trustee of Raytheon, a prime defense contractor and a member of National Association of Manufacturers. Isn't Raytheon the corporation that Admiral Moore was on where his money, no, it wasn't Admiral Moore, it was Edward Teller, who had advanced knowledge and made a huge profit from Raytheon? I'll have to look that up. I remember that corporation. And if Edward Teller is on the board of Western Goals and Robert Stoddard is on the board of Western Goals, then they indeed had early foreknowledge and made a huge profit just before a contract came in for the Defense Department of Raytheon. This author of this article said there are two other congressmen on the foundation, like McDonald, with close ties to the Intelligence and Armed Services Committee. Now, why is this article important? Because the Los Angeles Police Department takes records, and if I don't have time tonight, I'll go more on the recent articles on the LAPD, how they investigated people in their current marriages. Here's one story from the LA Times last week that they kept information on the sex lives of Los Angeles officials, and sometimes they would just check people outside, way outside of the police department's interest. Their information included a person's political affiliations to his latest lover. That's why I'm saying that you congressmen or you listeners shouldn't be so surprised and act shocked if you get Hustler and look at a little flesh between the covers. Your police departments follow these people, write reports, then put them into Western Goals to go to the Defense Intelligence Agency so that other men on the board of Western Goals had close ties, have them, because they're still putting computers into major cities around the country, close ties to Intelligence and Armed Services Committee. Because Larry McDonald is dead doesn't mean that they're not still doing the same thing. If they're good at it and they have the computer and they said they don't have to tell what else goes into the $100,000 computer in Long Beach at J. Paul's garage, all they're concerned with the Los Angeles files. I'd like to know what else goes into the computer. John Ashbrook, when he wrote this article, was still alive. He has passed away and his wife is on the board. John Ashbrook at the time was on the Intelligence Committee and served on the House Internal Security Committee and its infamous predecessor, the House Un-American Activities Committee. John Ashbrook from the House Un-American Activities Committee with Roy Cohn and Senator Joe McCarthy in the House Internal Security Committee, where Louise Reese worked for these committees and John Reese and then went to work for Larry McDonald and Western Goals. Ashbrook was a ranking Republican member of the Intelligence Oversight Committee charged with bringing in the more rabid elements of the CIA and FBI. And Congressman Bob Stump, your member, fellow member of the House of Representatives, serves, according to this article, in the House Intelligence Committee and the Armed Services Committee. The foundation has its share of military types. General John Singlaub is noted for being fired by President Jimmy Carter. Admiral Thomas Moore and Singlaub has a large role in the Korean scandal, Koreagate. And I believe, that he was down there with Jesse Helms for this affair that Larry McDonald didn't make when he flew alone over the ocean, over the Soviet territory, just September 1st, this couple of months ago. Admiral Thomas Moore is a member of the Joint Chief of Staff. He was a member of the Strategic Bombing Survey Team that assessed the damage at Hiroshima and Nagasaki after the atomic bombs were dropped, and I've done a lot on Admiral Moore. General Lewis Wald and General George Patton, the third, are board members, and A-bomb proponents are Edward Teller and Eugene Wigner. That's the Nazi who's back in Germany with the German offices. And Teller worked with the Defense Nuclear Physics at Oak Ridge. And Wigner also was active with the Atomic Energy Commission, the Nuclear Regulation Commission. And Teller is currently a member, when he wrote this, the American Ordnance Association, which is a group of concerned citizens and military personnel who want military industrial preparedness for the defense of the United States. They are concerned with the Armed Forces Chemical Association and represent the manufacturers of chemicals such as napalm and Agent Orange. Now, this is the Western Goals that Larry McDonald was the chairman of, and this is the Western Goals that the Los Angeles Police Department was putting files into that were supposed to be destroyed into the hands of these people. He also mentioned Taylor Caldwell, the author, and Dan Smoot, who are current members of Western Goals. She served on the Board of Special Inquiry of Immigration and Naturalization, and during the years 1924 to 1931, tried to get rid of communists in the United States. Those were the years when Adolf Hitler was doing 400 or more political assassinations in Germany, and Germany was sending over their top spies to the United States. They have many books of espionage from the end of World War I up to Pearl Harbor of Germans infiltrating the United States government, corporations, businesses, and setting up cells. Dan Smoot, a member of the Board of Western Goals, is a former FBI agent, active in a foundation. He had the Facts Forum and the Smoot Report. He sort of quieted down. He, according to this article, he was very active during the McCarthy years, and he's been very quiet. He's on the Board of Western Goals, but you don't hear much about Dan Smoot, but an administrative aide to J. Edgar Hoover at a time that Hoover was vice president of Interpol with Adolf Hitler. I'm asking the question because Hoover was vice president until Pearl Harbor, and goodness knows when Smoot latched on or was an aide to J. Edgar Hoover in the FBI before the Joe McCarthy hearings began. And also on the board I mentioned before is Roger Milliken. He is on the board of W.R. Grace & Company and put John Reese in charge of Western Goals, and he also represents the Westinghouse Company, the Citicorp, and is a financial supporter of Strom Thurmond. Now, there's a cycle from DeKalb County where Larry McDonald is, and Marietta, Georgia, where Mark David Chapman came from, who killed John Lennon, the route from DeKalb County to Lebanon and then Fort Chaffee and so forth, that route that I've carefully mentioned many, many times. Strom Thurmond was the senator in charge of getting rid of John Lennon. And then when he couldn't get rid of him, when you couldn't deport him, then the wheels were set that if he ever surfaced, he'd gone under. It was time to kill him. And Edwin Turple, Frank Turple, and Edwin Wilson, and the Central Intelligence Hit Team were closely associated with Strom Thurmond and delivering bags of money at a time just prior to the murder of John Lennon. And so the links of Western Goals, not only to John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, always existed with Larry McDonald, but you have J. Peter Grace, his company, and John Reese. And for those of you that don't have the background tapes on Grace, I won't repeat them again tonight. Well, that time is running out. I can't do any more on Western Goals, but what I'll do, that's just an article that was written a few years ago, and I wanted to share it with you. And next week, we'll get some more into the Los Angeles Police Department, the story that's going on there. There is not much coverage or any on the wire service, but I want to get to it next week and show you how many important stories are coming out of the LA Times and the Herald and Examiner and disseminate them to you. We're sort of culturally locked off. And in conclusion, I have just about 1 minute. The London Observer has a story about Ronald Reagan going to the United Nations when he was going to discuss his great foreign policy to these skeptics. And the Observer says that Ronald Reagan was very surprised. He was advised that the Russians, who usually just write off his sayings and don't take him seriously, were responding to the accusations of the airline, the commercial airline that went over their territory, and they weren't going to take it lightly. And it said Ronald Reagan was startled to learn that they had blown over. He thought, according to the London Observer, that the whole thing would be blown over by the time he got to the United Nations, that the down jet would be over in 2 or 3 weeks, And he was upset that they hadn't forgotten it in 2 or 3 weeks. He had gotten his MX missile and everything he wanted. So they told him to slow down a little and don't do so much political opportunism on the airplane flight, because he shouldn't harp on it too much because it hadn't yet blown over. So all this raucous talk that went on, and he assumed that everyone, by 2 weeks, we do forget 900 deaths at Jonestown in 3 weeks. He assumed that that plane crash should be over and he could get on with something else. But the Soviet Union didn't forget, and I think this country's been blackmailed by the actual evidence that exists, that it was a spy plane, and it has forced the resignation of William Clark of National Security Council, because that is the agency, along with the Japanese and Korean intelligence, that would be responsible for the plane not being signaled or warned and being misdirected and being shot down, then blaming the Soviets. Well, our time is officially 1 minute over, at least at this end in Carmel. So we'll call it quits for tonight. This is Mae Brussel at Carmel. It's not Carmel. It's Pacific Grove. I'm so used to saying that, Pacific Grove, California. I'll be back with you next week. This is KAZU-FM. And take care. I'll be with you pretty shortly. It goes pretty fast.